Hop Spotting 125.
Friday, September 9th, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Feedback Friday, where you guys take the lead, and we are really happy to hear more of your voices on the Pop Spotting line.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. It's Nancy from New York City. I'm calling about your life-changing album, podcast. Great concept. For me, the album that came to mind was London Calling by The Clash. I was introduced to it the summer before my senior year of high school. It was a life-changing time for me. My best friends were going off to college, and my family and I were moving from Miami, Florida to Manila in the Philippines. That album captured my emotions, the anger, frustration, and became my first friend in a foreign land. Now that I think of it, I went to Hawaii for the first time on our way to Manila. Thanks for taking me back to that time when I moved from the pop of Journey to the punk of The Clash. Thanks for all you do. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for your call, Nancy, and a great story there.
I really enjoy The Clash, too, but I grew up with Journey just like you did, so I kind of know what you're saying.
I love how basically music can really be the soundtrack to some pretty pivotal points in our life, and what a trip she's made from Miami, another Florida girl like you, perhaps, all the way to the Philippines and back to New York. Next up, a voicemail from our friend Dez.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is Dez. Just listening to your episode about life-changing albums. It was another good episode, of course. Like Jen, Appetite for Destruction is one of my top albums of all time. And I just want to say that I'm really enjoying the show. I'm really enjoying these little tidbits of Jen that we're getting, you know, with the albums and the books and, you know, things that mean something to her. Wonder if we'll ever get a little bit from Ryan like that. I think that would be pretty interesting. I especially love the shows that are about Hawaiian things, Hawaiian music and, you know, the Hawaiian foods. I've never been to Hawaii, and it has such a unique culture that I'm really enjoying listening about. Hopefully one day I will get there. It's definitely on my list of places to go to. But I really love the show. I think you guys are doing an excellent job. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Mahalo for your call, Dez. Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, make with a list, buddy.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Well, see, for me to make a list of books or music would require me to read books and to listen to music.
You listen to music. You know what music is. You have the concept, right?
Everything I need to know about music, I learned from you and listening to Pop Spotting.
You listen to your own music.
If people want a list that stopped somewhere around 1997, I mean, I can't even imagine what would I put on my list?
Bjork?
You want to embarrass me that they might be giants. Okay, well, see, now you've already made it. There you go, Dez. My list of favorite bands, at the very least. Let's move on, please, to our next call.
Hey, Ryan and Jen. This is Jeff in Texas. Hey, long-time listener from the Transmission and now Pop Spotting, and just wanted to finally call in and just to say a couple things. Dan, you talked about Catch-22 the other day. That's a book I actually did a group project on back in my senior year of high school, and back in 85, yeah, a long time ago. I'm an old man. Anyway, but what's funny is I don't think I have ever fully finished reading that book. I worked on a group project and had some other folks worked on it a lot, and they had read it real good. So we did a fun little video project for that. I've actually bought the book again and hope to eventually get around to reading it. Who knows if I ever will. But anyway, I probably should just because it is classic piece of literature. And also, I just want to mention, y'all talked a couple times about Hawaiian music, and the little clips that you play really intrigued me. My wife and I went to Hawaii probably 15 years ago. I really enjoyed it. I think I'm going to start looking into some Hawaiian music, maybe so I can find some on iTunes to download just so I can listen. Because what I've heard that y'all played has been really cool, really fun to listen to. Just love the tune and the melody and everything. So. Anyway, also, I just wanted to let y'all know, I mentioned this on Twitter sometimes, I just really enjoyed Pop Spotting. I love it. Just the right link for me. I can use it while I'm working out or on my drive to the office. And just perfect link for a podcast. And I just love listening to y'all and your thoughts on various things. So just keep up the great work, and I look forward to hearing more from y'all. See ya. Bye.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey, it's great to finally hear your voice.
Yeah, we feel like we kind of know you from online, so it's really good to match a voice to your name.
Absolutely. Texas Jeff W. on Twitter. And, you know, you're not the first person on earth to have done a school project on a book you didn't actually read. But for sure, we're going to do more Hawaiian music shows. And I'm glad to hear that he likes the length of our shows.
Yeah. It's something we're always trying to figure out, like what length works for everybody.
Yeah, we've been wrestling with it. We're always asking and checking in with folks. We're getting feedback. Sometimes people are 10 episodes back and losing track. We're thinking maybe we should do bi-weeks or something. But if we can fit into the daily schedule of Jeff, then we must be doing something right. Let's move on to our next call from Philadelphia.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. This is Julia in Philadelphia, and I'm calling with a recommendation for you guys and your listeners. So one of my favorite book series is called The Dragon Riders of Pern. It's by Anne McCaffrey, and it's currently in the works as a movie adaptation. And the reason I really love this series is because it has elements from both the sci-fi and the fantasy genres. And so you've got dragons and a feudal society and knife duels and political intrigue, but then you also get, like, time travel and spaceships and genetic engineering and artificial intelligence. So it's a really amazing series, and I'm really excited to see it as a movie. The guys who made X-Men and Watchmen are adapting the first book in the series called Dragonflight. So I'm really, really excited for this, even though it's just a screenplay right now. They haven't even started production. But if it happens, I'd be so thrilled. And if you're more attracted to, like, a fantasy series, I would start with Dragonflight, the first book that Anne McCaffrey wrote. But if you're more attracted to the sci-fi aspect of the series, you should start with Dragon's Dawn, which takes place first chronologically. But both books are great starting points for the series. So I highly recommend this series. It's rather long. There's somewhere around 20 books, I think. But I would really recommend reading Dragonflight and going to see the movie. And I really hope it turns out well. So thank you guys for the great podcast. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Pretty serious book recommendation there, a book series. Have you come anywhere near the Anne McCaffrey series?
I've seen them around, and they look pretty interesting.
They look really dense. I like how she kind of broke down. If you want to do something more science fiction-y, you can do Dragon's Dawn. If you want something more fantasy, you can do Dragon Blade. I just wish that I could really get into these long book series. When I was a reader, I did all of the Isaac Asimov. I did all the Arthur C. Clarke. I worked through all of those, and just where does the time go? But if there are any other Dragon Riders of Pern fans out there, maybe connect with Celia on our Facebook page and get something going and really tell us what we're missing. Finally, our last call from our good friend Jeff.
Hey Ron and Jen, this is Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, calling in with a TV recommendation. Last night, Wednesday night, BBC America premiered the show The Hour. It's set in the 1950s. It's kind of a Cold War spy thriller dealing with a BBC investigative news program. People have said it's like Mad Men. I guess it's an era piece, but it looks really intriguing. The first episode is now out on iTunes for free. It comes on Wednesday nights on BBC America, and I think it's one worth watching and checking out. So just wanted to pass that along. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Always good to hear from you, Jeff. And a TV recommendation. What do you think about The Hour?
McNulty. I will watch this just for McNulty.
Yeah, there's also the guy from Atonement in there, Romola Garai, and Ben Whishaw, who was in I'm Not There and Layer Cake. Mm-hmm. Looks like a great cast. I saw some little clips on YouTube, and you can get a 3-minute preview of the series for free on iTunes, but at least now when I checked, you can't get that first full episode free anymore. Mm. Unfortunately, they're already up to episode 4. They just aired episode 4 of the 6 in that first season. Good news is that it did get picked up for its second season, but you can buy them on iTunes, $2 or $3 for high def each, or $10 or $16 high def for the season. It's kind of interesting to see all of this nostalgia TV. I mean, it seems like there's dozens of series out that are kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah, there's the Playboy Bunny show and the Pan Am show.
Right, it's a Mad Men all over again. Yeah. But a lot of people are resisting that comparison for The Hour, and I'm a sucker for anything that's even remotely news are journalism related, so I think we're going to check it out. Let's move on to more TV talk from a previous show mentioned on Pop Spotting from our friend Greg.
He writes, as a cop show, The Glades doesn't break new ground, but I like how the setting plays a big part in how the stories play out. It's almost like Hawaii Five-0 in that regard with fewer explosions. Also, I'm trying to figure out which Aussie is hotter, Matt Passmore or Simon Baker on The Mentalist.
Well, do you have a vote for that?
I think they're both attractive in different ways. Simon Baker looks like a movie star, and Matt Passmore looks like a really hot dad you'd see at a park.
Okay, well, obviously you're into hot dads, so I'm going to say that's a vote for Matt Passmore. You know, he did get a start on children's television, so that's another plus for him. We did take some time to watch a couple of episodes of The Glades after the discussion on our podcast. What did you think of what you saw?
I don't know. We jumped in the middle of it, so maybe there was something we were missing. I'm not sure.
I don't think we're missing anything. I mean, I think it's very episodic. It's very, you know, case of the week, and it was just a little too light and fluffy for me. There was just not much depth there. I will say that Nikki, the actress,
Keely Sanchez,
she was actually kind of entertaining.
No, she
I thought she was really good.
It's
more the show that kind of let me down.
When talking about The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, we wondered if the former, The Walking Dead, was loyal to the graphic novel series it's based on. Pat on the blog writes, I'm very excited to see the second season. I really enjoyed how the first season was presented, which did track very closely with the first Walking Dead graphic novel, albeit with some changes. It wasn't perfectly faithful, but neither was it dramatically unfaithful. The show seems to be charting along the same general course as the comic series. I own several of the graphic novels, but only had a chance to read the first one. After my wife read the first one, she commandeered the rest since she had to keep reading them. My wife is not necessarily a fan of zombie or horror stories, but she loves really good stories and now is eager for the second season to start up. I've decided not to read ahead of the show so she and I can watch the new season with her having the expectations from the graphic novels and me not having any real idea what might be coming next.
I kind of like that approach. You know, the wife knows what's happening, but he's kind of holding back. I also like that she, not really a zombie fan, was the person who took all of the comics.
So, yeah, that's really interesting. I mean,
that's a vote in favor. And yes, we can't wait for October 16th. We've just learned that the first episode of season 2 of The Walking Dead will be a 90-minute episode. So that's great. It'll be a 12-episode season. We'll be tuning in. Now, moving from comics back to books, Daniel in Massachusetts writes on the blog, I have to recommend a fantastic new book that I just recently read entitled Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. It is a science fiction book that is set in 2044 where people spend all of their time plugged into a virtual world. Think Facebook gone VR with a visor and gloves. They play games, interact, go to school, go to work, all in this virtual world. The real world has gone bad thanks to overcrowding, pollution, and energy problems, and our 17-year-old protagonist spends his days plugged in. The designer of the VR world has passed away and left an Easter egg hidden somewhere in the virtual world. The first person to find it will take over his company and become super rich. The challenge here, though, is that this designer grew up in the 80s, learning to play classic video games, listening to 80s music, and watching 80s films. So to win the game, you have to know your 80s trivia. As a sci-fi novel, this is the perfect blend of future, present, and past. The 80s pastiche was a wonderful addition and made me nostalgic for my youth. The sci-fi element, especially the It Could Happen Tomorrow premise, left me breathless. I've seen the novel described as a nerdgasm, and I can only agree, Jen, and you too, Ryan, you won't be able to put this one down. Wow, that's quite a review, and as soon as I saw 80s trivia, I was nudging you. I mean, this sounds like it's right up your alley.
It totally is, and I was just reading an Entertainment Weekly review of this book, and I'm definitely intrigued. I mean, I really want to go out and get it, like, right now.
I think so. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to read it, and I might pick it up for my first book in way too long. Let's move on.
Carrie writes, thanks, Jen and Ryan, for your most recent books podcast. I am always eager to find new book recommendations and trust Jen's tastes implicitly.
Aww.
I finished a couple of Chelsea Handler books this summer because of your previous podcast and love them. And I was surprised to find I had read 4 out of 5 from your top 5 list. The first two were required reading on my 11th grade AP English class and remain two of my most memorable books of all time. I will have to put The Cavalier and Clay book on my to-read list. I have 2 quick recommendations for you, Jen. First, Shelfari. I don't know if you're familiar with the website, but I think of it as my Netflix for books. I believe it's affiliated with Amazon. It gives you 3 virtual bookshelves, books you've read, books you're reading, and books you want to read in the future. I love that I can keep all that information in one place. Second, I recently discovered a great new series called the Flavia De Luce novels. They are by Alan Bradley, and they are centered around an 11-year-old girl in the 1950s. She's a chemistry genius and solves murder mysteries in her quaint English town. They are funny, atmospheric, clever books that leave me wishing I could stay in that world. I hope you give them a try.
Now, what do you think of that first recommendation, the website, Shelfari?
I actually use Goodreads. I am familiar with Shelfari, but I enjoy Goodreads a lot because you can add your own shelves, and it's a little bit more customizable. For instance, I have a shelf called Books I Hate and Threw Away.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I use Goodreads as well. I like that one. There's another one
Library
out there.
Thing.
Library Thing is my preferred one. I think it's the most book nerd-ish out of all of them. Shelfari is very pretty. I think that's what it's got going for it.
Yeah.
That's probably why Amazon picked it up. I do remember them getting into some trouble with email invites or scraping or something, and that kind of soured me from Shelfari. All of these services are great. I think the thing about Library Thing that I liked is that if you're very active, you can sign up to get advanced copies of books that are going to come out, and that's actually kind of interesting. It might actually be good for a book podcast. But how about the book recommendation that she made, the Flavia De Luce series?
It sounds good, but I have to say I really love all the love for young adult novels we hear on the show.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of the niche that we're carving out. I do like it. There's only 3 books in the series, one every year from 2009, including one this year. It's a young girl dealing with older sisters and outsmarting adults. There's a lot of great reviews on Amazon, so I think that's a great recommendation from Carrie. We encourage all of our listeners, at least, to check it out as well. Finally, one more short book recommendation that came to us on Google Plus from our friend David Cole, or Batch Out, on Twitter. He recommends Interstellar Pig by William Sleater. He calls it the most imaginative young adult science fiction ever written. If you want something meaner, try House of Stairs, also by him. So any familiarity with William Sleater?
No, but the title Interstellar Pig is like the greatest title ever. And
yeah.
It's on my list.
Well, it's about a board game, and it's, you know, this kid gets the board game. There's aliens and there's all these things going on that turns out to actually be real. There's even a sequel to Interstellar Pig called Parasite Pig, which came out in 2002. That really sounds interesting, you know, more young adult fiction there. But the idea of House of Stairs, that came out in 1974, I'm really a sucker for dystopian worlds, dystopian fiction, and you've got these kids that have to get really sadistic. They have to turn on each other in order to survive in this almost M.C. Escher-like universe. It is a House of Stairs. They even say that the movie The Cube was based on this.
I've seen The Cube.
Yeah, so that might be one thing that you might want to check out, and thanks again to David Cole. And to wrap up this Feedback Friday, a suggestion on a future episode from Facebook.
Megan writes, "How about an episode previewing new fall TV shows? I want to hear your predictions for the first one to get canceled. I'm calling Man Up."
I like it. And actually, Daniel B. had emailed us a little while back with the very same suggestion. In fact, he provided a calendar of these new series and when they were debuting. It all kind of happens around the third week of September.
Right.
So maybe we could do that for our next TV Tuesday. But if you want that to happen, Daniel or Megan or anybody else, what we'd really like to do is to follow your lead. We want to know what you are the most excited about, or perhaps what you are dreading, and that means that feedback is more important than ever.
You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can call us at 815-310-0808.
We also encourage you to post on the Pop Spotting page on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting. That's where other listeners can see your comments and help start a conversation.
You can start any kind of topic you want there, or you can also post a comment on a specific episode on our blog at popspotting.net.
And you can also connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting. Our personal accounts are Hawaii and Mrs. Hawaii, and we probably spend way too much time on Twitter, so we'll see you there.
We'll be back soon with more pop talk. For now, we want to thank Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for making our delicious theme song.
And mahalo to you for listening to our little show. For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. May the force be with you.
Yes, and also with you.